Welcome to the Hell You Wave. This is Zippy back again. And joining us is Sanjo Chan. Glad to have you back.
Annyeonghaseyo.
Yeah, we get to talk about a lot of awesome stuff. And more importantly, as I've found out, many artists that I don't know very well. So, for instance, I know we're talking about Teen Top this week, and they've been around for a while. And I'm kind of counting on you, Sanjo, to know more than I do, because I've listened to some of their music before, but this was really the first song where I gave it this full in-depth listen. So, again, glad to have you here, and glad for you to share your insight.
Yep, glad to be here.
Just to get to what we are covering this week, get right into it. So, we are covering the track Teen Top's Be My Girl, along with the music video Chaos, who is a fairly new group this year, and their new song is Racer, and there's a music video for that as well that we'll be talking about. And then we're going to do Unique Album. You don't necessarily get to do, but occasionally labels will come together for joint albums. YG does it a lot, and this is Lowen Entertainment's edition. It's Lowen Tree Summer Story, and that's our full album that we'll be covering. And then lastly, we'll hit on some news, including some possible censorship that may really kind of change the way music videos are released for Korea. So we will get to that. But yeah, let's start off with Teen Top and Be My Girl.
Oh yeah! It's going down, man! Teen Top! Brace out! Third collaboration!
A little about Teen Top. They debuted in 2010, and they're a six-member act under TOP Media, and I looked this up, and so they're founded by Shinhwa member Andy Lee, who, Sanjo, I assume you being a more, again, how to put it, more of aware
a seasoned
of
veteran.
Seasoned veteran. I like that. Yes. So you're kind of familiar with Shinhwa anyways.
Yes.
So I'm going to be asking you at a couple of points, probably a little later, if you feel like any specific tie from Shinhwa in this music video. But first, I guess, just what do you think of the track and what do you think of the music video?
I like both the song and the video, and especially the song itself is an improvement from the previous track off their mini-album, single, It's You. But, you know, it's also a lot different from their song. Actually, now that I mentioned that they've had a busy year since they released their comeback track of 2012, which was Crazy. And it's not the same as that track from earlier in the year, but it's better than the previous track they released just 2 months ago.
Yeah, my only exposure, honestly, had been the No Perfume on You song, which Eat Your Kimchi reviewed. And I wasn't super impressed. Now, they also kind of gave a negative spin to the music video, and I guess the lyrics, because it was about cheating, and they're a Teen Top, so they're supposed to be this young group. And so they were kind of wondering about, I guess, the moral quandaries of all things in that song. And so I don't know if it was that, or I just wasn't grabbed by the song. But again, I'd never really checked out Teen Top much before, but I also came away liking the song fairly well, and the music video, I thought, really worked too, to combine not only what sounded like a different song from, again, the one I know, but also to kind of infuse that teen feeling that I assume, you know, their name kind of embodies.
And also, now that you mentioned that previous song, No More Perfume on You, there are a few other tracks, earlier tracks, like Clap, which was their first single. You know, I realized that all the songs before Crazy just, you know, seemed like it fit the wrong you know, it was the wrong demographic. But it seemed like they've improved, you know, this year and they've at their age, so to speak.
Yeah, I definitely felt this was very age appropriate in a lot of ways. And again, going with the music video itself, I really liked how, I mean, basically everything looked like what teens would do to hang out, or even just young adults, you know, not to make it so exclusive. Especially like at the end with the cosmic bowling, I thought that was a really nice touch.
Me too.
Yeah, I will have to say, specifically to the video too, I think they are still trying to mature even more, because there was a lot of shimmying, and I think I saw some thrusting. So, yeah. So soon they might be adult top, for all I know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's also there, you know, they've been around for 2 years, so that's also impressive, considering that this year they've released three title tracks.
Yeah, I didn't realize they'd been that busy, so clearly I'm just a bit behind on Teen Top, and I'm going to have to do my homework. Specifically, I guess talking to the song, when I first listened to it, I was a little thrown off because the opening, I guess, just seemed more intense. And then kind of as it progressed, it was a lot more, I don't know if cheery is the word, but almost sing-songy in a way. But it was a beat, and I liked it. And again, it kind of had that party and something that I think is going to be a theme for this episode, a kind of summer party feel as well.
End of summer party.
Yeah, yeah. And I also liked, so I guess that was, like, did you hear the small touches of what sounded like an air horn in there?
Yep, I did.
Yeah, and that kind of made me think of maybe like a sporting event too. So, you know, if your team, I guess, celebrated after a basketball game or, you know, whatever sport. I mean, we got the Olympics now, so that's pretty timely. But that just seemed to kind of add to this little extra nuance that made me, I guess, appreciate the song a little more. I still feel, I guess it stands out for me enough to where, again, I'm liking the Teen Top song, while before I never really paid attention. But at the same time, I'm having a hard time, I guess, comparing it to other really powerful singles from so many groups, but it's one that I think I'm going to have to listen to more and more.
Also, the first track earlier this year, Crazy, it also had a lot of air horns too, if I remember correctly. So you have to know more reason to check them out.
Ah, this is a theme. Yes, now I have to go back and listen to the air horns and try to tie it all in together. So I mentioned about how there's a Teen Top Shinhwa connection, and I just have to say, having seen Shinhwa's music videos and knowing their tracks, does Teen Top seem to be kind of representing a lot of the path that Shinhwa's taken?
It's hard to tell because Shinhwa had a totally different image. I mean, I find it hard to connect the image between Shinhwa and Teen Top, but maybe if I listen to some of the other songs that's, you know, not the single, maybe it does. But I say maybe the later Shinhwa's later songs is, you know, is identical to Teen Top as they are now.
So it could be almost, and what I would think too, if I were Andy Lee, is that I would want to make the group that I wanted to be in, and not even just the group I was in, even if it was Shinhwa, which is a huge group, very loved, and I believe still performing. But I, you know, if you have the chance for creative control, then yeah, I wasn't sure if you would kind of repeat your success or go a new direction.
Well, we could be going a new direction, considering that Shinhwa used to be a SM entertainment group, and they founded their own company, the Shinhwa Company. So, you know, that allowed them to do whatever they want, especially with Andy. You know, he's spreading the creativity to other people as well.
Certainly sounds like it. Well, either way, good for him, because it's hard enough, as we've seen with TVXQ and others, to really be able to get that creative freedom and still be in K-pop. So it's cool that Teen Top is kind of the embodiment of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you kind of spoke, I guess, how you feel about it is in their broad catalog. Just as a single itself, and since, especially, you know, helping out with this show, we get to listen to so much music from so many new artists and older artists alike, is this one that's going to be a regular listen for you?
Yes, it will. It's a good song to listen to. It's not like Crazy, which is one of my favorite tracks this year, but it's worth to listen to on, on regular playlists.
Well, cool.
처음 본 순간부터 그대 있는 곳은 어디든
이를 불어내는 기차 like a rocket을 단차 No break 내 마음보다 더 빠른 게 그대란 finish line 난 너를 향해 두는 킬링만
달려있지 정말 기가 막힌 걸 치명적인 것처럼 Bring it on 또다시 나를 자극해
Alright, moving on. So now we're featuring a much newer group, Chaos. I believe they had a earlier debut this year. Just 2012, because this is only their second single, and it's being released as part of their first mini album. They're with Low End Entertainment, so we're almost going a full Low End show, but we're not. We're holding off. And the main track is called Racer, as long as the music video. And I guess I'll just give my initial impressions and saying, right off the bat on the music video, I thought this was going to be another BAP kind of group. Which we've been seeing so much with this kind of high, packed energy gangster style. But I have to say, and I didn't even really notice this until I saw a YouTube comment on the video itself, but I did notice a little, but I guess I didn't appreciate it. But the mood is almost constantly changing in this song, and it was almost kind of hard to keep up with, but at the same time, I really like what it added to the song. And I'll get into that a little more in a second, but Sanjo, I guess what do you think again of the music video? Just initial impressions of the music video and the song.
The song is different from, it feels more like BAP, like you said, and the video itself, but the video itself is more abstract, where BAP's initial song, made a lot of sense. But you're right, it changed, the mood changed a lot in the video, and plus some of the lyrics, if I remember correctly, I think they say like CHO or CAO. I thought at first they were spelling chaos, but it didn't make any sense, and I wondered what what that mean.
Yeah, because I saw, yeah, this was one too where after, so last week with Erica, basically, I think I for once realized, hey, maybe I should look up some of the English lyrics. So I actually looked it up for this one, and yeah, they're spelling COS for most of it. And I'm wondering if that's like maybe they just couldn't work in spelling chaos. So COS kind of sounds like chaos. So
Maybe.
I wasn't sure about that either.
Yeah, I know. Also, noticed they changed the their spelling of the group name because it used to be in caps CHAOS, but now it's lowercase H.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe with every mini album they're gonna lowercase another letter.
Maybe. That's
That'd be
something to
kind
think about.
of it'd be kind of amusing. It'd be kind of annoying for me though. I use Last.fm, and so it tracks music, and I don't know if it's case sensitive, but I would be like, no, why can't you guys just settle on a name? Going back to the English lyrics, or sorry, the translation of the lyrics, what I felt once I noticed that the mood was changing is a couple of things. First of all, it was, I mean, the song's Racer, and so I felt like it was all these different guys, and it didn't have to be, one girl that they were kind of professing their love to. Maybe it was several girls, because one thing I forgot to mention with Teen Top is, for once, they actually had several girls for all the members. It was all very even. And so, if you think of it in that way, then, they could all be just racing to their girl's heart, and it could be at different paces. Or maybe they are competing against another. And so the different voices in the songs and the different singers kind of represent, again, their own track and their own progression towards loving this girl and just kind of their own way for sharing their emotions.
And I guess that also explains about the art and the video to them throwing paint all over the place. That could also be a part of the theme.
Yeah, what I was kind of thinking there, because again, when I was thinking, BAP, the moment I heard the more of the song, I was like, okay, they're not quite a BAP group because they're not keeping the energy as high the whole time, or at least they're not keeping kind of that strong rap, you know, rap over vocals or rap over harmonies. But then I was like, okay, what's their name? Their name's Chaos. Maybe what they're doing the whole video is creating chaos, and maybe the Jackson Pollock lookalike painting at the end is sort of the representation of chaos come together to form kind of a new beauty.
That's something to think about, and considering that this is the video, the image is a lot different from their earlier debut, because I saw Chaos as another, I guess you say beast, you know, considering that. Also, I was going to say Big Bang, considering that one of the members' his, real name is Park Taeyong, and they originally named him Taeyong, but people complained, so they used his real name.
Oh, yeah, I actually remember that. That's funny. Yeah, I was going to say, I did see the beast connection, partly because they have the kind of sweeping cowboy feet thing going on, like Beast had in Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different, but it was similar enough in the dance for me to go, hey, haven't I seen that before? So, actually, even specifically to the song, even every time they went into the chorus, I'm like, I swear, there is about 5 seconds in here between the transition that I know sounds exactly like another song. And it's clearly one I liked, because I always loved the chorus for this song, but I just couldn't remember what it was for. So, I don't know. Is this one, though, do you think that you're going to play a lot of or check out the music video a lot of?
I check out the music video more than once, but the song, I'm just not feeling it right now. I don't know. I'm not attached to it right now.
Yeah, it definitely grew on me more, and so I think I'll probably listen to it. The music video, even with me kind of adding all this perhaps superficial, maybe chaos is beauty, and maybe this is what this represents, still makes me not like the music video as much. So I guess while you check out the music video, I can check out the song.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it fairly short, only doing 2 singles, 2 music videos, but of course doing 1 mini album as well. This is Loen Entertainment's album where they bring a lot of their awesome artists together and just let them do music. It's called Loen Tree Summer Story. And I'm not sure if this is the first one Loen Entertainment's done, just because I am definitely a fan of certain Loen artists, but I think I've only been really looking for their specific work, so maybe I missed out on some earlier ones. But if it is a first start, I have to say I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your thoughts?
This is the first project that Loen has done featuring their top artists. But I know, like you said earlier, YG, they've done a few, so is SM and other JYP at JYP Nation just recently, a couple of years ago. But for Loen, I'm not too impressed, probably because the only artist that I follow would be Brown Eyed Girls, which Jia is featured on the track, featuring Sunny Hill, and Guyan has her own track. But I just, you know, I don't know what to say. I guess it's not as poppy as you would expect the other labels are with their projects.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to disagree with that, because I feel something about some of these summer tracks is that they really aren't super poppy. They're more like background music, or they more just kind of set the mood for you to, I guess, keep in mind. While I felt Beast, a recent single that we reviewed, was great for both being very upbeat, poppy, and fun to listen to, and set this kind of great image in your mind, I do feel that I have to agree that these aren't, yeah, they're not your traditional singles. At the same time, personally, I'm a fan of a few more of these artists. Huge fan of IU. Definitely a huge Brown Eyed Girls fan. So I was all over track two with Guyan. And specifically then even the bonus track, track five, which was IU's You and I, and it was a remix. I love that because I already love the original. So having a remix just kind of was icing on the cake, so to speak.
But the music video for Sea of Moonlight, that I like the video of it too, because it shows all the female artists of Loen, you know, having fun, you know, innocent fun.
Yeah, to kind of preface that, if you haven't seen it, essentially that was the first single, which is the one that IU is kind of the lead singer and features Fiestar. And yeah, I totally agree. I mean, they were clearly trying to hammer home Summer as hard as they could with that, because it's just, it looks like what I would imagine a girl's camp to be like. Mm-hmm. Being a boy, I can only assume. But, I mean, you have IU cooking, you have face painting, there's like a camp cookout in addition to the earlier cooking. And just, it's all very, almost absurdly cute. But IU's kind of like that anyways.
Mm-hmm. You can tell her from a mile away, because she's, no, you can match her voice with her face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's always strange, too, because she's got such a powerful voice that, like, I'm like, that's coming out of that little girl? But, yeah, so it was, I mean, I definitely agree. I liked the music video, and again, it's kind of what I imagined, if not hoped, that, I guess, camps for girls would be, because, you know, I always have this image based on either cartoons, probably cartoons, where you usually see the guys, they're like, yeah, let's go break into the girls' camp. And, you know, you have this image that it's, like, so much better, so much more fun. And, yeah, that I could have spent the whole day like that. I'm not sure if I would have liked getting face painted as a cat. But I would have dealt.
What about the mask like they had and the helmet, the little head things they had in the video?
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. And I don't know how, because that was one of the weirdest parts of the music video. I thought that could have balanced from cute to creepy really quickly, especially with the bear and some of the imagery that bears and young girls kind of brings up.
Bear.
I blame the internet for that. But no, I thought that worked too. It was definitely a bit of almost like, I don't know if you've ever seen the Beatles Magical Mystery Tour, but they're kind of like dressed as a walrus and dressed as like other animals. And while that's really trippy, this was really cute, and I think both work for their own reasons. I will just kind of go a little from track to track here, and I feel the first track, again, and the music video exemplified it, but it was a very strong summer song. I felt it had good energy, and IU, strong singer as always, was well backed up by Fiestar, doing pretty good, kind of their own harmonies and their own vocal additions. But I was amused because I swear that has to be a sample of Take On Me.
Oh, yeah.
That they opened the song for.
Oh, yeah, I noticed a lot of songs for the past year or so have this 80s. Feel to it. I don't know what it is.
It's so true. Because actually, yeah, while so track one had Take On Me, just skipping ahead to the third track real fast, I felt that it sounded like an 80s female singer. I was thinking maybe Madonna, but maybe kind of a more stereotypical 80s singer that was, or not stereotypical, but less creative, more, you know, kind of fitting the rhythm. And I mean, with the third track again, I just had this idea, and that one's called Brave Girls, and I just had this idea that, you know, like at the beginning of the music video, you have kind of the light piano intro with the band feel kind of coming in, not like a jazz band, but kind of like that, and then I just picture in my mind that all these people listening to it just all of a sudden decide to dance on the street like a musical. You know, workers are stopping what they're doing and just kind of partying, all of a sudden get in sync.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the chorus, it kind of had that extra 80s syrupy, like, ooh, ooh, kind of element to it. I guess going to, skipping back now to track two, which is Guyan doing The track's called Take Out, not Take On Me. And it's collaboration with, is it pronounced R-A-D or is it Rad?
I had trouble on that too, but it's probably Rad.
Okay, we'll go with Rad, because yeah, I tracked him down to a MySpace page, and it did not have pronunciation, so Rad it is. But anyways, I really personally like this song. Again, I'm way, way too into Guyan ever since Brown Eye Girls, Abracadabra, which was one of the first music videos that you, Eric, and others introduced me to. Mm-hmm. But I also really loved her solo work, and I felt this was kind of a return to that, not just because obviously there's no other girl singing, but because she's always kind of had these more exotic elements that don't quite fit into K-pop. And I felt that with the kind of jazzy piano intro and really just the whole lounge kind of cafe feel going on, I just felt that it was very different from what I'm used to hearing with a lot of K-pop. But specifically, too, I think Guyan does amazing duets, and she's done a couple now, I guess most notably one with Jokwon. But I thought that Rad totally, even though I think he's from an indie label, so I don't think he even has a low-end attachment, was totally the right guy to bring in, and it just worked so well together. And again, I have this image of kind of a lounge environment, and that's what I would love to see. I would love to see Guyan and Rad kind of in those like fancy clothes, just kind of singing at the top of, or the front of a smoky bar, just kind of singing this song. I think that would be, that's exactly the image I conjure up, and now I kind of want to make that happen.
I wonder if we'll see any more collaboration between the two if she releases another solo project.
I would actually like to see that, and I'm pretty sure she is going to release another solo album, because I know they've been teasing it, but of course they tease so many things, and they don't always come true. But yeah, I'm already going to just check out more of Brad's music, too, just because of this. And I do hope that, as much as I know fans want to see Jokwon get back together with Guyan for a duet, I think there's room for two duets on her album, so yeah, I hope it's true. I want to now jump ahead to track 4, which was Run to the Moon by G Gorilla, by saying this was the most, like, if Guyan's song was fairly atypical for K-pop, then this song, Run to the Moon, was atypical for popular K-pop music. Because, I mean, you can get away with a lot of different styles, but this was almost like a B's track.
Oh yeah, I agree. It doesn't sound anything like the previous tracks, and that sounds like an indie track, to be honest.
Yeah, it started off, because it starts with that driving motor, and so still knowing that they're probably hammering the summer thing home, I'm like, okay, it's probably a nice summer drive. But then you get kind of the rock sound to it, which again is fairly rare for K-pop, unless you're right, you're going to the indie world. And so I'm like, wait, is this going to be like Driving High by Lark and CL? Which is an awesome song. If you only listen to K-pop, you should check that one out if you like rock at all.
Yep.
But then it did get a little more B's, and it was kind of weird, but I still liked it. Definitely stood apart in a lot of ways.
And also, it probably stands apart to considering that rock is not widely recognized in Korea than it is in other parts of the world, because, though it's pretty much K-pop is still new to people. You know, everything you hear is this, westernized pop, Western style pop music, and then everything else is just new to everyone, to Koreans, that is.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm actually reading a book called Pop Goes Korea that kind of talks about how Korea's unique situation in like the 80s and 70s kind of gutted their music scene. So we'll have to talk about that kind of idea more in depth. But for me, rock from Korea is weird. So it's got to be really weird for Koreans. At least, again, this is more old style rock too. It's not like even the modern rocks that you might hear from some of the indie groups. Probably didn't also help, too, thinking about it now, that he was really the only male vocalist on the whole scene.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, because, well, actually, Sunny Hill has one male member, but he went off to the army just back in the spring, so it's all females here.
Yeah, that's still kind of sad to me because I was just getting into Sunny Hill. But, oh well, I guess when you have to go, you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, again, I already mentioned a little, but the fifth track is You and I by IU, and this is the FPM Techno Orchestra Mix. And I've pretty much already said what I can say for it, which is I love IU's song already. It's one that proved even more to me, because I thought her Marshmallow was one that I would expect somebody that looked like her and kind of, or as I presume, sounded like her would do. Very cutesy. But with You and I and some of her more recent work, I've felt that her voice sounds like she's got such power and so many more years of singing experience than she has. And, I mean, she's got, you know, a fair number of years, and it's a very natural talent. But I was, like, blown away the first time I heard You and I. And I think that the fact that they can remix it not upset me, because some remixes really can kill a great song, but, in fact, make it even more kind of energized and even more addictive, I thought was really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I take it, though, you perhaps don't spend as much time as with Erica, who often shows me IU's videos because they're cute, cuddly, and pink. So you don't follow IU as much, if I'm correct.
I don't follow her as much. I follow the few of her earlier songs, such as My Boo, but there's only a few songs I like from her earlier stuff.
Yeah. And I will agree, like, a lot of her music wouldn't necessarily fit into, like, my CDs. Because I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago how, like, what usually makes my playlist is stuff that I can drive to. So stuff like B.A.P.'s Warrior No Mercy, even stuff like Glam's XXO Party, very upbeat songs that will keep me kind of awake and, you know, keep me singing along if I know any of the lyrics. Those tend to be what I listen to regularly. But I feel that IU kind of fills in a special niche, too, in her own way. So I think that's why that, and again, the cuteness is maybe why I've been following her career a little more just in general and not even just of late.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, I really liked the album. Again, it's not as driving, and you're totally right. It's not full of, like, typical pop singles. So it kind of fits in this mold of music that I like, but I won't listen to a whole lot. And part of that is, I think, for me at least, the whole relation to music and seasons. Japan does this a lot as well, and to me, I'm like, okay, I get it, you have seasons, you want to do music about it, it's very appropriate, and especially when you release as many singles as both of those countries do, Korea and Japan, then it makes sense to do maybe a summer song, a winter song, or a spring song. But for me, I'm still very used to American music, and we don't do that. It's not just because some areas of the country, like ours, it seems, only have two seasons, hot and freezing. But it's just not something we do, and it could be some cultural thing. So while I definitely am trying to get more of kind of a visual appreciation for these songs, even the ones that lack music videos, and kind of imagine the scene that they're trying to portray, it's still a little odd to me to think of stuff like summer songs and winter songs. So,
well, now that you mention it, I think, like, back, you know, about in the 90s, that they did do a lot of summer songs, but not as much. I mean, not like on a whole album dedicated to summer stuff. You know, the artist doesn't bother going out of the way making a whole CD just for that. Just like Will Smith's Summertime is the only song that comes to mind, and maybe a few others that are obscure. But I can't think of any winter songs that, you know, other than Christmas songs that anyone else released.
Yeah, way, way many Christmas songs. But, I mean, like, right off the top of my head, though, I can think of tons of, you know, K-pop, J-pop ones. I mean, Bubble Pop, just the way that music video was. I mean, that was the song of the summer for Korea, in the same way that Call Me Maybe is apparently the song of the summer here. And then, of course, you have FX's Hot Summer. Yeah. So, although both of those, compared to these songs, were really, really poppy, upbeat, and I think that was also specifically Bubble Pop was one of the first instances of dubstep that I remember in a song, too. So that was kind of a cool change of pace as well, at least for me. I know dubstep's really divisive. But I guess, sorry for talking so long on that, but I guess, so, for you personally, this isn't really a song that you would necessarily go out and grab, or sorry, this isn't an album that you would necessarily go out and grab anytime soon, bar maybe the Gaian track.
Yeah, it's an album that I would listen to maybe like on a Korean internet station or just out of curiosity, but it's worth downloading an individual track from iTunes or such.
Yeah, well, and that's the beauty of this show, is we don't have to like everything, but we get introduced to so much music that we might not otherwise know, and I think anytime you have a album that is kind of a compilation of different artists from a company is a good chance. Like for me, YG, I guess, had their 15th live, and so getting to hear lesser-known YG artists cover like Big Bang and G-Dragon songs really made me be like, I have no idea who that is, but I have to check them out. So while this didn't do that for you necessarily, for me, I like Sunny Hill more. I like IU as much as ever, and Gaian still amazing. So as long as we both take different things out of it, I think that's success.
And in closing of talking about summer albums, the only summer album I really like by any of the labels is SM Town. Guys, they, like about 5 years ago, they released a couple of albums, and they were pretty good, and they even included a couple of tracks that you would never hear on the artist's own albums. Like, there's this group called Blackbeat that released a song on one of their on SM Town albums, I think it was 2006. They released that one song, and that's the only song I like by them, and I've never heard of from them again. So, and SM hasn't done this in a while, except for the Winter album, which I think they've done this past winter or before that. But nah, that's something that SM needs to do again.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out and kind of give a couple more of these albums a go, too, because, I mean, if as you're saying, it features artists that you may not know, but, you know, still have a good single in them, then it's worth me listening to. All right, now it's time for some news, and this week we're going to feature an article/series of articles that focus on the rather contentious issue of censorship in K-pop. Now, this is kind of an old hat for American and Western fans especially, because, frankly, we are very used to having music videos and songs, music videos more, not really be censored. And even now, if you look at, like, iTunes, they sell the clean versions, but it's predominantly the explicit ones of the track that are being purchased, even if those aren't the ones that are hitting the radio. Well, the latest development that appears to be coming along, courtesy of Korea's Visual Content Grading Committee, is essentially this kind of two-week period where the committee is going to look over everything from teasers and real music videos to see if it should be banned. Because they've done this in the past. They've banned a lot of music videos. In fact, some notable ones. And I'll work on pulling up a list, but Sandra, I'm sure you have a lot in mind, too. So what this is going to do is essentially those bans, I guess, took them off Korean television, but they didn't take them off YouTube. And this is going to take them off of YouTube. So it's kind of a big deal, not to mention the fact that it's also maybe going to cause some delay as you have this two-week period now that they have to look over all your stuff.
Yeah, I think, no, they shouldn't do that because it's the internet and people can control what you can't see on the internet. You know, you can just have like a filter to keep them away from certain sites, or maybe implement an individual rating system that's on that video site, and have anyone that you think that, you know, if the video thinks that will spread a bad influence on a person, you can just have it blocked. And I don't think some organization doesn't have to interfere with record labels and people to choose what you want to see like that. It's just don't like that.
Yeah, you actually brought up something that I hadn't even thought of too. But just right off, I'll say that for me, even though if you ever met me, I guess you wouldn't assume I would be necessarily one to break a lot of rules or really need censorship. So if you know me personally, this might sound kind of ironic, but I'm very anti-censorship in general. I feel that, I mean, like Sanjay said, like you said, basically, yeah, there are ways to get items out of, you know, whether it's kids' hands or whatever. And I know Erica particularly frustrated by the Korean media, even if it doesn't mean us not seeing a music video, just knowing that it's banned really kind of takes that hard, because again, we over here are so used to a very lax style of censorship, and so it is really weird. But what you brought up by talking about how there are ways to kind of prevent it from, or prevent these music videos from kind of spreading to the wrong people, is just reminding me that YouTube blocks videos for us if companies over there don't want it. So what they could do is just block it for Korea. It sounds really, really asinine, but it could work.
Yeah, and like considering the article that we're talking about, the CEO of YG, Yang Han-suk, said that, you know, going back in the 90s, they were banned for having colored hair when he was in Sotaiji Boys. And now, a couple other things that, you know, that's something simple back then, you know, considering actually like in the 90s, they were so strict on what you can do or what you can wear in Korea, but now it's pretty much like it is in the West. And there were things that actually, you know, that did call for maybe a ban, even if it was ridiculous, like H.O.T.'s first single. The very first single, it was banned because it showed them, showed someone getting bullied, even though the song itself was supposed to it's a message saying that don't bully me and so on.
Yeah, that's just, and it's, I guess for Americans especially, we have this idea of freedom of speech and stuff. So even with a lot of things, whether it's emotions, I know we'll go over to Korea or, you know, certain foreign countries, and they feel we're very rude because we're either in their face or we're very strongly opinionated and all this stuff that we're used to. So it's even that much weirder, kind of keeping this in mind. But even, yeah, within their culture, I mean, especially like you're talking about, the early censorship seems so strict. And yeah, I mean, bullying is a huge problem in, well, many countries, but Korea especially. And so, yeah, that's just kind of weird to.
And it's kind of strange that they bring this up, because I was thinking, because, you know, like, let's take a Psy Gangnam Style, for example. I know the video probably wouldn't make it on TV unless they decided to show it late at night. I'm not sure the extent of their censorship laws, you know, on TV as far as some videos go. But in the Gangnam Style video, when you see the guy in an elevator, I wonder if that prompted them to do the to look into this. And also, when Psy performed, he performs a song on TV too. So I was wondering, he can get away with this on TV because the lyrics, they don't actually mean anything, you know, it's actually very innocent, but the video itself, I was wondering if, you know, it made it on TV or not.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I was going to say, for me, the iconic moment of potential banning would be Psy yelling into attractive Korean girl's yoga butt. So, I'm not sure. And, yeah, I use this as a teaser on our Facebook page, but it's true. A lot of articles are talking about how, hey, you know that Gangnam Style video that everybody loves? Yeah, you might not have that if this ban had, you know, happened like months ago or so. I just want to kind of quickly break down some music videos, or not break down, but mention some music videos that have been banned. And so one of them that seems for a really silly reason, apparently Rain's Love Song was banned because Rain was running in the middle of the road, which breaks Korean traffic laws. Some slightly more reasonable ones include Sisters' How Dare You, which used a stripper pole. So, you know, they weren't too into that. Also, you have Hyuna's Change, which, if you're a guy, you should check that music video out. But, and it wasn't quite banned, but it was given a 19-plus rating. For, I love this blog. They say, sexy beastly dance moves. So, basically, it is more for the music video. Apparently, Epic High's Breakdown was banned. And that one, actually, the blogger is saying, hey, that's actually pretty violent and gruesome. But here, and this could be relevant coming up, but so we have Top, and GD and Top. Knockout was banned, and Turn It Up was banned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was, they said that Knockout was banned because the lyrics of the song itself contained slang, even though it meant nothing, you know, nothing that you think would be bad. And then Turn It Up was banned because it mentioned brand names like Gucci and Versace, something like that.
Wow, rap would do horribly over there, or at least American rappers would do horribly over there. That got banned. So, I guess, what do you think, since it seems this is, so far at least, as of this recording, it's not being stopped, despite protests, what do you think this is going to have as an effect on not just the Korean music market, but specific artists, as well as the spread of K-pop worldwide?
I think it's, you know, I would, you know, I really wish this wouldn't happen, but I think, you know, it probably would have some effect depending on the artists. I mean, I guess they'll have to, you know, go back and say, you know, there's something we can't do, you know, there's some things we can't do like other artists have done that we've done in the past, and then tone it down a bit. But then again, this, you know, they could just, like, go with my plan and say, have the video itself on the site, have a rating, and then have it up to the people, if not to choose if they want to see it or not. And I also think that it's, you know, like, let's say G-Dragon. He's filming a music video for his comeback, which is towards the end of the month, and there's a chance that his video is going to get delayed because of this. But, you know, I think it's something that they're probably going to go back on and say, this is actually hurting us, and maybe we'll, well, reconsider it, and or even that maybe a lawsuit, you know, that they can do a lot of crazy things to get it reversed. But I don't think this is going to work, you know. It probably won't last very long if it's going to hurt everyone.
Yeah, I certainly hope not. And you're right, there is some precedent with lawsuits being filed. I think Beast's label was one of them that actually won their lawsuit for having, I believe, was it Fiction in Fact? The album banned, I think?
Yeah, I think so. I might as well fuss on that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was it. And it was just for, like, one song. So, yeah, I agree. I hope that if they at least implement anything, it's a rating system, and that this just kind of goes away in ancient history that we'll all laugh about in a few years. All right, well, thank you, Sanjo-chan, again for joining us as we discuss Lowentry, Chaos, and Teen Top, and the censorship or potential mysterious censorship future of K-pop.
Glad to be here again, and I'm looking forward to joining you on the next episode.
Very cool. And yes, so, yeah, I'm not even sure what the future episode will hold, but hopefully good stuff. I know there's so many new artists coming out here very soon, We're not new artists, sorry. So many comebacks. So I just read today that Tiara is actually still likely to do a comeback in August. So that's going to have all kinds of drama. I'm sure the song will be awesome, so I'm at least looking forward to that. We, of course, mentioned G-Dragon. G-Dragon's coming back. And any other artists that come to mind that are coming back
Not
for you?
Today, but we'll probably end up hearing something in the next week or so. And if I remember correctly, 21 is going to release, a new album. They previously canceled their single, so it's actually going to be a lot more than we expected.
Well, all I have to say is that's about time, because we've gotten a couple singles, and yeah, I want an album. So that's good. All right, well, anyways, it's time to say goodbye, but first, tell you how you can follow us and how you can contact us. So starting with that, you can always send us email, and you can even send them in MP3, and we may be able to play them on the show just by sending email to howyouwavepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow along the show and all our show notes on Facebook, which is where our main page is. It's facebook.com/thehowyouwave. And Sandra, just how can they check out your written work, and how can they follow
along with you?
My
website is Sentakume, which covers everything in the world of otakudom, like anime, gaming, and even a little bit of K-pop. And you can read my blog at ctntakume.info. And I can be reached on Twitter at Sanjo Chan. That's Sanjo, S-A-N-J-O, underscore C-H-A-N. And also have a Facebook page for Sentakume, which can be reached at facebook.com/Sentakume.
Very exciting. Well, thank you again for returning.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.